Intro by Dalia Taha. There are no more precious words than the ones that were written in spite of pain, censorship, torture. Pages that shouldn't exist. Pages that aren't allowed. So imagine how precious are the writings of Palestinian political prisoners. For years, I have been captivated by their letters. In them I find something more truthful than many celebrated novels. There are no unnecessary words in them, no lies.
Even wedding congratulations sent from prison feel like poems. Perhaps it has something to do with the impossibility of their journey.
The number of hands they had to be passed through furtively to reach us. The effort that was required to decipher the tiny letters written on a paper thin enough to be rolled into capsules. For before they appear on our screens, there are those who received them, copied them, edited them, and made sure that meanings were conveyed correctly. They arrive after a dangerous journey. So what are we expected to do with them when they fall in our hands? Coming from a place that was built to silence the writers of these letters. Perhaps the question that we owe to ask ourselves is this: how can we be serious and stern readers of these letters? How can we do justice to these letters as readers? Perhaps the answer to this question lies in the literal reading of these letters. Most of them are written in small fonts, on paper that is scarce, requiring a great effort if we are to decipher the words. Understanding the real letter inside these letters, the humanist and ethical lessons that it offers, requires us to start from the lesson that the literal reading of the letter provides, which is to recognize that deciphering them is not an easy task. It's true that these letters issue from profound suffering, from the harshest places on earth, but it's unfair to reduce them to this. In reality, these letters contain fundamental truths that now seem essential and important. In a world that is built to stop out our belief in responsibility, justice, and possibility. To listen attentively with a great fidelity is to make sure these letters arrive at their purpose, which is to release us back into the world as better readers of it. During the Great Revolt of 1936, the British Mandate inaugurated mass incarceration of Palestinians. After 1948, British prisons became Israeli prisons. In the beginning, there was not enough space in them. 150,000 Palestinians were held in barbed wire camps by the new state after 1948, a state born as a gulag. Many were used as slave labor. In Dissolving Consciousness, Walid Dagag writes that Israeli prisons were built to crush and deform Palestinians, to instill an atmosphere of fear. There are no Palestinian stories without broken ribs and shattered skulls. And there is no Palestinian gathering where tales from captivity are not told. About 40% of Palestinian men in the occupied territories have been arrested since 1967. Women are also incarcerated, as are children and teenagers. Many of my friends and colleagues, relatives, students and teachers have been imprisoned.
People are rounded up for the most banal reasons. In 2019, 70 Palestinian students from Bir Zeit University were imprisoned, charged with union organizing, participation in a student trip, and participation in dance event. Were some of the charges. But more and more Israel is not even bothering to pretend. administrative detention orders allow them to detain anyone without a charge or a trial, renewable indefinitely. People spend years in administrative detention in places that have over decades become household names for us. Our other geography, Ashkelon, At Damun, Celibo, Ramleh, Nafha, Nakab, Ramun, Ofar, Hadarim, Sharon. We live our lives in the interstices of this geography, imprisoned by these names, before or after our release. In a voice message, smuggled out of prison, during a prisoner hunger strike demanding an end to the practice of administrative detention, Hassan Zavahre describes the release from prison as a release into another prison, in which you are waiting for your next imprisonment. So you are unable to commit fully to anything. You are unable to know your children or your siblings. You are woken in the middle of night by any sound, knowing at any time your house can be filled by screaming soldiers, knowing what then awaits. Palestinians endure brutal torture in prison. I have spent days reading the details of this torture on the website of the only organization who works to legally support prisoners. The organization itself has been harassed and assaulted by Israeli forces. It has now been condemned as a terrorist organization, and its offices have been raided over and over again, with laptops and documents confiscated. Every time I read a letter written by a Palestinian political prisoner, I have the feeling that it is part of an endless conversation. A conversation that started from the first human inscriptions on stones, their paintings on walls, and carried on in philosophical debates, in wandering poems, in place seeking to understand the human in a world governed by larger forces. This conversation that commenced with the desire of humans to understand the world, their place in it, and their beautiful attempts to make something of their bewilderment and pain, turning these feelings into larger utterances about life. The conversation that was carried on by those who insisted on telling the truth, correct our illusions, and reveal the unseen forces working underneath our reality. Perhaps what I recognize in their letters is that which distinguishes great work in the humanities: the search for what deserves to be investigated, the desire to make the world a more humane place to live in.